One.
No, we have a poster on the.
Five.
Yeah. Where is everybody?
Tess Nissen, Sunday the 17th of April. All right, miles away. Rabbi Doniel, it's the first month, you see, the first month. Rabbi Doniel Rowe, Existing Above the Natural.
So the end of the first parak of Shabbos, we find two Mishnah. We find two Mishnahs towards the end of the first parak of Shabbos. At the end of the first parak of Shabbos, and the Mishnahs tell us between them an important principle of Pesachim, of general Pesach. And the halachas are as follows. The first thing we know is there's a general principle, ain't soylen basar, that you can't roast meat or other things, the Mishnah says as well. On Erev, Shabbos, you can't start roasting things unless they'll be finished being roasted from the beginning of the day. Min haTorah you could. You could start and get it to the point where it's either a third or half roasted. But midrabbanan, we're worried that people would come to play around with coals. And so, if you want to cook on Erev Shabbos, you have to complete everything but Mibay Jayim. However, the last Mishnah says this, Meshalshin es haPesach b'tanurim chashechon. There's an exception. A year like this one, where Erev Pesach is Friday, you could actually go and start roasting your Korban Pesach just before Shabbos, even though it won't reach a full tzliah, won't be fully roasted when Shabbos and Bet and Yom to come in, and you have to carry on into Shabbos itself. And the other exception is we say that also Machiz and Sarbim Maduras Beis HaMoked, also we aren't worried with Kohenim. And the Gemara explains that we say that on Pesach people are Zerizin. They are passionate, they are alert, they have alacrity, they have something such that the Bnei Chaburah, the people are roasting, will remind one another that it's Shabbos and therefore there's nothing to worry about when it comes to Pesach. This is one example throughout Shas that we see that on Pesach, halachas are different to other times of the year. There are many, many halachas. I would give you a whole example. There's a Gemara in Gittin that speaks about whether you hold Breira, and it brings an example of what appears. Breira means can you create a situation now that's dependent upon a fact that hasn't yet occurred. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from Pesachim, and the Gemara ends up saying on Pesachim's reason name, it's different, they're all hurrying. It's not quite literally what the Gemara means there, but it's an example. We see all over, I'll give you a very simple example from Maseches Pesachim itself, there are many. The Gemara, the beginning of Pesachim, wants to understand why we have a Chiyuv Bedikas Chometz so early. Right? Actually, with our modern houses that are very large, you don't ask that question. We start already clearing chametz long before. But once upon a time, people lived in very small houses, a room or two. Why would you start bedikas chametz so far back as a whole night before? It should start it just before there's manis of chametz. It's part of tashbih, so let's say, it's part of destroying, or at the very least not being over bal yirah. So don't worry about these things till the mitzvah is almost upon us. And the Gemara has a hava, another Gemara thinks that what it will say is Zerizim Akdimin a Mitzvahs, that because we should be passionate and do things as early as we can, therefore we do it early. The Gemara says it can't be true because that would only be till the beginning of the day, but never all the way back into the night. But before you even go further, you want to stop and say, but since when could Zerizus, could doing something passionately or quickly, have anything to do with a Chiyuv? Normally you understand there's mitzvahs, there's chiyuvim, there's what you got to do. And there's this nice mitzvah to try and do things early. But you see very clearly, and there's many, many riyas, I just brought you one or two, but I could give many more. But there's many riyas of this, that on Pesachim, when it comes to Hilchas HaPesach, when it comes to all halachas of Pesachim, we assume people are on a slightly different madrega to normally. We actually assume they're on the madrega of Kayanim. Kayanim are called Zerizim all year round. And we assume when it comes to Pesach that we achieve a similar madrega. So that means to say that the Avodah Shebelev, the inner work that we're trying to achieve on Pesach, includes, amongst other things, an Avodah on Zerizos. On what, generally what this term Zerizos means, difficult to translate into English, passionate, quick, alert, alacrity is the word that's often used. And this is what we're trying to work on. So we want to understand a little bit more about this and some of the implications for us on Pesach, because of course the truth is that after Leila Seder is finished, we always left wondering what exactly we're going to be working on for the next few days. Now Sukkot, you're living in the Sukkot, it's clear, it's Emunah is the issue. What exactly is the issue on Pesach? So it turns out that Zerizos is very much the issue. But let's try and get a little bit deeper into this and understand, tease it out a little bit more. Generally speaking, we think of the following. Generally speaking, when it comes to Middos, so the general attitude, and it's usually correct, is that midos are things that are used in service of the correct rotzon. In other words, take something like zrizos, like doing things quickly, taking opportunities, seizing them when they come, being passionate, being alert. These are things that could be used for the good, or they could be used for the bad. If a person's rotzon is good, then zrizos will be something that's for the good, like Avraham Avinu gets up, Yashkim Avraham Boika. On the other hand, if the person's rotzon is not good, then the zrizos will be not a good thing, like we see with Bilam. That's the general way of looking at things, and there's a lot to that. However, we see something interesting. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that most midos, or many, many aspects of the world that are not explicit mitzvahs, even if the Torah wasn't given, right, we say, Ilmoledit the Torah, if the Torah wasn't given, we could learn in the meeting, we could learn tznius mechatol, you could learn a tznius modesty from a cat, you could learn gazal nemala, you could learn not to steal from the way, or you could learn stealing from ants, you could learn arayas meyoina, derech eretz mitarnagol. The Gemara gives different aspects of things that we could learn by observing the natural world. We could learn, but there's an obvious omission. Rav Huttner makes the point in the Pachad Yitzhak. There is one that is so glaring that we should have been in that list front and center of things that you would learn from the natural world, and that is Zerizos. All over the natural world, we do this naturally. We look at an ant colony and we say to ourselves, wow, isn't this, you learn how hard they work, how constantly they work, how passionately they work from the second the sun's up all day long. And in fact, the Pasuk itself says, Lech el namala otzel. If a person suffers from absence, from a bit of laziness, just look at an ant colony and you'll be blown away. So Tanakh itself has told us that this is where we should learn it from, and amazingly the Gemara never brings it. And Rav Huttner wants to be medayik from here something incredible. He wants to say that the zerizos you would learn from the natural world, ilmolenit l'toira, is not the zerizos that we have in our mitzvahs that we learn from Pesach. And let's try to understand very carefully, therefore, the difference between the two. Every day we say Baruch Sha'oma, we say the following words. We say Baruch Oysa Bereishis, and then Baruch Oyme V'Oysa. What is the difference between Baruch Oysa Bereishis? Right, Hashem makes Bereishis. And Oyme V'Oysa is also referring to Maisa Bereishis. So the Gros says that there's two different things. Baruch Oyme V'Oysa really means, the world, Hashem speaks, the world comes into being, referring to Maisa Bereishis. But Baruch Oysa Bereishis means Hashem himself actually makes Bereishis. It's the creation of time itself. There's another thing, there's a what Bereishis Nami Mama. There's actually a creation of Bereishis of time. And then there's Baruch Oyma Ba'isa. Within that, Bayom Elokim Yihiar, Bayom Elokim, etc., etc. There are two different creations that are qualitatively different. One depends on the existence of time. There's a sequence, there's events, there's cause and effect. And one is the creation of all of that in the first place. Lemay nafkamina for us. Because we know the Medrash Koheles Rabbah, Gama Nefesh Lo Yisamalei. So the Medrash says the very famous moshel of a Roini Shanasa Bas Melech. A local villager marries a princess. And a problem soon occurs. She tries to move in with a villager and discovers that the best of what the village can offer has no chance of satisfying her. The greatest delicacy in a village would not make it anywhere close to the palace, to the servants' quarters, never mind into the meal or into the clothing or into whatever it is that a Bas Melech is going to wear. So too, says the Medrash, the Nefesh, Gamma Nefesh Lo Yisamale, means that no matter what we try to feed it in the physical world, there'll be a deeper part of us that remains thoroughly unsatisfied. The best offering of a great house or car or holiday in this world cannot satisfy the deeper parts, the nefesh of the person. It just won't do it. And Rav Huttner comes along and says, Alpi the Goyin, we have an extra dimension, the Gam HaNefesh Lo Yisamale. Why? Because just like the neshama of the person is seeking things that are so deep that nothing within Olam Hazeh, nothing within the physical world can possibly start to satisfy it, so too, there's different types, if you like, there's different types of Bas Melech, different types of princesses. The princess from one country might not be satisfied by the villagers' stuff, but satisfied by certain things. But a princess of a much wealthier country, their she'ifos, their desires, their vision of their aspirations are much, much greater. If there's two aspects, if the neshama's chelek Eloika mimal, and there's two aspects to creation, there's a baruch oisa and baruch oisa bereshis, then there's also two parts to the neshama, at least, in terms of the inability to be satisfied. One part just says, a house, a car, a holiday doesn't do it. That's not what I'm in this world for. But there's another part that says time itself is something so deeply frustrating. It's an anathema. It's something we cannot tolerate and stomach. Cannot tolerate and stomach even time itself. What is the meaning of that? So the Maharal says as follows. We know that, as I said before, the middah of Pesach is actually Zerizas, and in fact we learn all of Zerizas from Pesach, not from the natural world. And the proof of that is this, that we say, Shemarta Mesam Matzos, you've got to guard the Matzos, and Chazal Adoyresh, Chazal read into it, Mitzvah, as if Shemarta Mesam Mitzvos, you've got to guard the Mitzvos, Mitzvah Boliodcho Al Tachmitzeno. A Mitzvah that comes into your hand, don't let it delay, don't let it become Chometz. Ask the Maharal, there's an obvious kasha on this. A mitzvah boliodcha, you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, to do tzedakah, to daven, to whatever mitzvah it is, and we delay the mitzvah, the moshel and nimshel don't work. In the moshel, if you delay matzah in its production, the chamitza, the chomitz that it becomes, is not just not a mitzvah, it's treif, at least on Pesach. If you're not shomer the matzahs, and you delay, then it becomes treif. But if you're not shoma a mitzvah and it delays, it's still a mitzvah. So you could say it means don't delay it till it's no longer an opportunity of a mitzvah, till the situation's gone, but that's not posh pshat if we're going to learn mitzvah's reasons from there. And the Maharal answers as follows. The Maharal says, and based on this gra, it becomes very clear what the Maharal is saying. The Maharal says like this. He says, in fact, there is a sense in which a mitzvah done bezerizos and its first opportunity, or with passion, or with care, or whatever exactly it is that we define by zerizos, a mitzvah done with it is qualitatively different, and a mitzvah without zerizos that's done late or reluctant or whatever it is that's done is actually a pagam in the mitzvah. It's to some degree, of course it's still a mitzvah, but there's some sense in which it really has become a little chometz, in which something is damaged. What could that be? So Alpi the Gra of Huttner wants to say this. You see, the neshama of the person is lifted outside of the net. It doesn't belong to time. If Hashem created time itself as a physical creation, then the neshama doesn't want to be in time. It doesn't want things to take time. It can't deal with things that take time. And so the neshama, it's painful that it even has to take time for something to happen. So what happens is that it does everything in a minimum amount of time. If your neshama is alive and alert, we will do everything almost as soon as it comes, the closest we can get to not having to wait in time. But if the mitzvah boliodcha, if we machmitz it, if we let it become chometz, then what happens is it begins to slow and sour. We let go of the neshama level. We dropped into the ordinary physical level. And we did the mitzvah still, it's an amazing thing, but we let go. That original level that we should have been on, that original neshama alive within us, has been cut off and severed and actually become, from that perspective, a little chometzdik, an amazing maharat. But let's try to understand a little bit more. What we've said so far is this. We've explained, we've seen how we learn all of Zerizos really is the middah of Pesach, and we learn special halachas on Pesach because of it, and we learn and all sorts of things. But and in fact, we see the source of the concept of Zerizos is Pesach, and actually a mitzvah done without Zerizos is somewhat pogam. Why? Because, as the Maharal says, because the neshama we're meant, the neshama level itself is, time itself is a physical creation, and the neshama on a higher level, Gamma Nefesh Lo Samale, the princess Neshama in this physical village world where things take time can't tolerate it. If the Neshama's glowing and alive, then we will never let things take time, or we'll do them in the absolute minimum of time. Where does all this come from? So it obviously comes from the Chippozon of Pesach itself. This comes from the Chippozon of Pesach, and we see on Pesach everything is done by Chippozon. Everything is done in an absolute minimum of time. Not the Chatzos HaLaila comes along and Klal Yisrael is offered freedom and they got a split second to say yes. The next morning when they leave, they leave so quickly they don't even have time, they thought they'd have time, they don't have time, the matzahs, they can't, no chometz. What is going on with all of this? What is the oimik here? So I think we might have said these ideas before, but they're worth hearing again. Is this, Yetzias Mitzrayim was not just, and when we go through this on Leila Seder, you'll see the whole Leila Seder inverts the entire order of normal things. In fact, the Maharal says that even calling it Leila Seder, a night of order, when everything seems to violate order, normal night you make Kiddush, Hamotzi, and eat a meal, and Leila Seder we do everything in a different order. And the Maharal says because we're dealing not with the Seder of the natural world, the order of the natural world, but the Seder of a deeper world, the world of miracles. There is a Seder there too, but it is a Seder beyond our Seder. And we see, in fact, the Maharal also says that the whole Mitchila Ode Wede Zora Hayav, Seder Mata Kervana Makam Levode, also the whole need to go into Mitzrayim in the first place was to destroy from us our attachment to the natural world. Was to remove from us any connection to the way natural things work in this world. Because in Mitzrayim, we literally were in a situation of Shibud that it was not possible to be a part anymore of the natural world as an entity Yisrael. We were going to be crushed and destroyed. And not only that, but even on the mitzvah score, if you like, even the rungs of the spiritual world, we weren't doing too well either. Because Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, V'Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, says the Malachi Asharis. And Malachim can detect spiritual differences. But they, as far as the mitzvah score was concerned, we were on the lowest Madrega too. And the only hope of Yisrael was to connect to something above all of the physical and spiritual world. It's only that tzaaka that says we're going to be lemala from all of this that became the possibility of coming out. And in fact, the process in Mitzrayim had to be loyalite malach, loyalite sarf, loyalite shalich, even though they were all used, but they couldn't be actually doing. The Malach HaMavis couldn't make any choices. The Rosh had to show him this house, yes, this house, no. But it had to be that way because all of the natural laws and limitations had to be destroyed. I think we pointed out as well that Rav Tzadok says it, Svasema says it's based on Rav B'Shem, the Zohar Kodesh, that Basama Maris Nivra Olam, that the Rav B'Shem creates the world in 10 Ma'amorim, in 10 sayings, and then it's destroyed. All 10 of those are destroyed in the Esa Makos in Mitzrayim. The Maharal has one order of it. The Tzaddik and Sasema seem to both hold that it was actually an inverse order. And depending on how you align it, you can actually see that they work in inverse order. That we want Cheshbon and the Tir together. How it works in exact inverse order. So that the last thing created in Ma'aseh Bereishis is the first thing destroyed in Mitzrayim. The Puruvu, Milos Aretz, all the life that is, the first Makkah is all death. And so forth. The Tzelem and Akim that is created, the distinction between Adam and animal is destroyed in the second Makkah. The Ofer min Adam that creates Adam is reversed in the third Makkah. Ofer becomes the force that attacks Adam and so forth all the way back. Until finally we go back to the second thing in Ma'aseh Bereishis, Yehi Or, and the second last Makkah Mitzrayim is Choshech, which undoes it. And then finally, on Chatzos itself, we undo the word Bereishis. Every single Bereishis, every firstborn, first point in Mitzrayim is destroyed. And the word Bereishis itself is torn apart. And there's now we've transcended the level, not just the Baruch Omer Va'Oisa of the way the natural world works, but Baruch Oisa Bereshis, even the creation of time itself. And at that moment of Chatzos does not even belong to time itself. For the base medrash of the Gra, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chava says, amazingly, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kachatzos, that he says, Koyim Hashem, Kachatzos Alayla, Ani Yotze B'Seich Mitzrayim, around Chatzos, and Rashi gives two pshatim in what's Kachatzos. First of all, Rashi says, Kehei Cholik Alayla, like the splitting of the night, which is the nearest you can get to a literal translation. And then Rashi says, brings the other Chazal, the Medoresh, Kamoi, Kavachatzos Alayla. Why? Because he says, famously, that he was nervous that Stagnina Paroi would say that Moshe Badayu. That they would say Moshe is a joke, he speaks nonsense, it doesn't make sense, because they can't Mechavel Chatzos. So we normally learn Pshat, as they would be sitting there on some kind of timers, trying to work around Chatzos. That's very unlikely to be the simple Pshat of Rashi and Chazal, simply because they didn't really have ways of measuring midnight very well in those days. But Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chava comes along and brings the two Pshatim and Rashi together. He says the literal word Bachatzi Halayla does not refer to a moment that exists. It's an abstraction. It's saying the splitting of the night. Literally, there cannot be a moment called midnight. I mean, you can call whatever you want. But if you've got a second you think is midnight, half of it is before and half of it is after. You cannot have a moment in time. That's what the first Pshatim Rashi tells us. And therefore, says Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chava, the moment, the reason he couldn't say it is because let's say Badoyu is speaking nonsense because they wouldn't know, they wouldn't even know what he means by that. You can't come out in a moment that is the splitting of the night. It's not possible. You could take a night and split it and say there's bits before, bits after. But you can't, every moment of time is either before or after the splitting of the night. Like in a line, every moment's before the halfway or after every bit of the line. You cannot be at the halfway point. It's not possible. You could draw a line, but half the line's before, half the line's after. So they'd say, Badayu, he talks nonsense, this man, because he's talking about moments that are outside of time, and therefore he says, Kachatzos Halayla, but it was Vahi Bachatzi Halayla. It taka was at a moment that does not exist in time. It was outside of the whole system of time itself the Yisrael is lifted to at that point of midnight. And that is the famous, I don't know if it's famous, famous means usually I've heard of it before, but the line that Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel says, in Parashas Yisroi, you've all seen what I did to you in Mitzrayim. I carried you on wings of eagles and brought you to it. The Targum Yonison says, Atem Chamisun, you've all seen my Avidus of Mitzrayim. So far, exact translation. And then he says, What does it mean, Avidus of Mitzrayim? I brought you to me. I brought you to the base Hamikdosh. Lemeva Tamon Pischa. And there I brought you to me to eat the Korban Pesach. On that night, they brought you up there, that's how I brought you now to receive the Torah. You see what he's saying? On the night of Seder night in Mitzrayim, you came, Al Kanfei Nasharim, on wings of eagles, I brought you to Yerushalayim. Now forget the space travel taking place over there. There's also got to be a time travel because there was no Beis HaMikdash for centuries later. But I'm bringing you into the base of Mitzrayim. I'm bringing you all over the whole of time. In that moment of Chatzos, Yisrael were lifted outside of space and lifted outside of time. And they were everywhere. And that is what it means to be above the words Baruch Oseh Bereishis. And this becomes the neshama of Yisrael that doesn't really belong to a specific place and a specific time anymore. That we live always for Olam Haba, for the way the world will eventually be. And we're living there all the time. We go there every single Shabbos, and we really live that consciousness all the time. And that means that living inside a world, ever since Yetzias Mitzrayim, ever since we were lifted above, and then we came back down again the next day, ever since then, there's been a pain living inside the world of time. The Bas Melech, the dimension of Neshama of Yisrael is one that is a Bas Melech that the Eroni, the villager, can supply all the time in the world, and it's just painful. it's painful. We want Yemos HaMashiach, and we want them now. We want to live already with Olam Haba right now. We don't want to be stuck in a thing that takes process and takes time. And there, says the Maharal, we can bring that neshama to life every time a mitzvah comes around, and we grab it straight away. That's the neshama speaking that doesn't want time to happen. And every time we let go of that madrega of neshama that we've pulled out of Mitzrayim. If you think about this, you'll also see something really beautiful. There's much, much more to say about this. Of course, this answers so many of our earlier questions. This explains exactly why you couldn't learn this type of zrizas from the natural world. This is not the zrizas of lechem lemoda atzel, of looking at the ants. You know, if you work hard, great things happen. Time management, diligence in time. Yes, you could learn that from the natural world. But the Gemara is saying, if not for Matan Torah, he doesn't list zrizas, because the zrizas we're trying to do is a totally different type of zrizas. It's not something the ant world does. It's living in a transcendent view of all of space and all of time. By the way, of course, we do that every single Seder night, because when we declare from the word go, halach ma'anya diachla avasana ba'arada mitzrayim, so there's different pshatim on it, but the most posh pshat, of course, is there's only one time that we ever found the meeting matzah ba'arada mitzrayim, and that's on Seder night. So therefore, we are back going to Seder night. That's talking about, even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, we're going back into Mitzrayim, saying, we are now joining Israel on their last moment in Mitzrayim. We are spanning all of history, and the Haggadah, we span history backwards and forwards all the time. But of course, they in Mitzrayim were eating matzah, because they were joining future generations. They didn't know why they're eating matzah yet. They hadn't yet left Bechipozayim. But they were eating the matzah to be like, because they'd been told that that's what the future Doris are going to do to remember they came out of Mitzrayim. So they were celebrating us, joining us. We were joining them, and the whole thing is l'malam l'azman. And of course, that's why one has to eat matzah. The chipazon in Mitzrayim has to be, everything has to be in a microsecond. Because if you allow it to sour into space and time, it becomes chametz. But you see something very beautiful, therefore. Because after the beginning of Pesach, after the first day, we enter another mitzvah, Sfiras HaOmer. And although we don't actually have the Karban HaOmer and the Chodosh, now we Chodosh we do still have nowadays, but Karban HaOmer we don't. Nevertheless, we still have the avodah of Sfiras HaOmer, which is that each one of these 7 weeks, we work on a different middah. We say it in the tefillah, those have the nusach. And the first week, we work on chesed. And chesed in the Torah is two different shroshim. One is in his damis bedracha, to be like the Rebbeinu Shalom, ma'u rachel, ma'u fatara, ma'u chanan, ma'u, you know. And the other is we learn it straight from after recha kamoicha, on which the Rishonim ask akasha. The Mefarshei Torah, we say v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, you should love your colleague like yourself. But of course that's not possible to do. And the Rabban says in a chanami, and therefore you should care about their desires like yours. You know, you get as close as you can. And that's MS, but there's a deep dimension here where there may even be a kamoicha. And here it is. The Baal HaTanya brings, Hashem, I believe, the Ari HaKadosh. He says that every human being, you can imagine us like twigs on a tree. Each one of us is separate to each other. Each one of us competes with each other. My leaf, I want the sun, you want the sun. I need this, you need that. I want to nurture from whatever's coming up the branches, you want to. And we're competing and struggling. On that level, after Recha Kamoicha, the best hope you have is, at least care about the other one too. But if a leaf goes a bit deeper, a twig goes a bit deeper, it realizes actually what I really am is just a branch. And all the little twigs are the same. We're all part of the branch. And the Hatzlacha of the branch is my real identity is something that includes many, many, many leaves and twigs and so forth, not just my own. And suddenly it cares about that tzlach of everything else going on around it. It needs them all to be matzliach, because otherwise it can't. And if it goes deep, it realizes it's part of a central branch, and eventually it realizes it's part of a whole tree. And that's all it begins to care about. So too Yisrael. That what we men understand in the world, and this is the shorish of real chesed, is if I think I'm me, this little piece of protoplasmic flesh, this guf, then each of you is a piece of competition, and you know, best, when I'm looked after, I can try and care a bit about you too. But if I understand that deep within me, when I transcend my little physical perspective of things, we're actually all part, let's say, in a family of one family, or we're all part of one ummah, or we're ultimately all part of one Maaseh Bereishis, then suddenly the pain of somebody else can be mine too. And their pleasure can be mine too. And it's all about stepping outside of the confines of the limited space that I'm in just which is exactly what we do when we step out of time itself. And I suddenly see myself as part of this broad thing called Yisrael, and ultimately the whole of my Sibarishis. And that becomes what I live for too. And so the Zerizus of Leila Seder, the stepping out of the here and now, actually leads naturally into stepping out of this little space as well, and a stepping into a world of genuine blessing, genuine genuine chesed that comes with it. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam help us to do all of this, to live in the world, to live in the from all of these things, and be zeicha b'shon hazeh, Yerushalayim, and she's zeicha t'imaytzim Hashem.